Going back to the hotline, our good buddy Will West joins us from Knoxville, the radio station, Sports Radio WNML over in Knoxville. Will, hope you've had a great week. Welcome to another great day and great weekend of college football.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Johnny. I really appreciate it, man. I know you had to work around a lot of things to get me on, so I really do appreciate that.
Hey, how about this? So Tennessee 5-5. I expected back in August that Tennessee was going to be 5-6 going into the contest against Vanderbilt. But the fact that they're already got their fifth win, they have the opportunity to make that total 7-5. And then if you talk about a bowl win, an 8-win season, nobody would have seen that coming. Now, look, they've got unfinished business, but just knowing that they've got that to play for has to mean a lot for this program.
Absolutely it does. And I think it really, locally, the biggest thing is it kept the fan base from tapping out, because I do think the Tennessee fans were, that Charlotte game was the worst crowd I've ever seen in Neyland Stadium, the worst crowd on campus I've ever seen. And the fan base kind of got back into it that win against Kentucky. It just shows you how slim the margin is, right, in the Southeastern Conference, because a 7-5 season would seem like a monumental success if Tennessee can get there. But, you know, I mean, Tennessee loses that Kentucky game like most people expected, and then they lose this this Missouri game. You're asking, what do they actually have to play for against Vanderbilt, right? So that one win makes a huge difference, and now you've got two games, winnable games. I don't think that they're going to be favored in either one of them right now. But these are winnable games, and 7-5 and maybe even 8-5 is on the table. Maybe a trip to the Liberty Bowl, and we'll see who you draw out of the Big 12. The one thing I think they're hoping is not Texas, not Oklahoma State. If they can get to the Liberty Bowl, that they don't end up with them. But they have something to play for here. There's a pretty large carrot dangling in front of the face of these players for Jeremy Pruitt.
Hey, by the way, a quick score update. First of all, through 11 games, who would have thought that the Citadel would be the team that kept Alabama out of the end zone the longest? It took just under 12 minutes for Alabama to score, right? Well, how about the fact that 11:42 to go before the half, the Citadel just scored on a 45-yard touchdown run. The extra point is good. They're tied up 7-7 down in Tuscaloosa.
Wow.
I'm sure one Nick Saban is not going to be very happy right now.
No, and this is, and I'll tell you, people within the Alabama program told us this week that this offense was angry about the 24-0, only scoring 24 against Mississippi State, and then that they've kind of gotten slack, the offense has, in the last few weeks, and that they were angry, they were back on point, they had the weaker type of week of practice that people thought they may be in the 40s by the time we get to halftime. That is definitely not the case the way that it's looking right now. That is a shocking score.
All right, so first things first, we look at Missouri, and, you know, maybe if Drew Locke played for anybody else other than, say, Missouri, we would be talking more about what he's accomplished in his career for the Missouri Tigers, but it's amazing. He's going to finish as far as second all-time as the career passing leader yards-wise in SEC history, only behind Aaron Murray. Most likely, he will pass David Green today for number two on this list, but going into this matchup this afternoon, against Tennessee, 11,342 yards, currently good for third. And then the fact that he already has 92 touchdown passes as well. He's going to end up third because he's not going to be able to get enough to pass Danny Warfel, who's in second, and Aaron Murray's in first. But still a very special, you know, career as a quarterback for Missouri. And if we're talking about Missouri having success today against Tennessee, it's going to be because of Drew Locke.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. I think that, you know, I'm sure you remember back to when Matthew Stafford left Georgia and he got drafted number one overall. We had so many people who called our station and asked, how in the world is Matthew Stafford throwing for, you know, just he didn't really win a whole lot. He didn't do what you expected him to do at Georgia. He never seemed like he was a game breaker. How was he the number one overall pick? And then people still wonder, how's he been a 10, 12-year franchise quarterback in the NFL? I think Drew Locke's the same thing. It's not the same skill set Stafford has. He has a different skill set. But I think he's going to be a 10-year starter in the National Football League, barring health, and people are going to be kind of surprised. I do think that we look back, Johnny, on Drew Locke's career and say, man, Barry Odom wasted that guy to some extent. That when you get the winning lottery ticket like that, when you get a guy who's a franchise quarterback, a first-round, surefire first-round pick in the NFL draft, you got to win more games than Barry Odom was able to do. But he's had a great career. He's been a really nice quarterback. The last couple of years, I guess, with last year with Roundtree and this year with Crockett, they've had a little bit of a running game to offset him, but his freshman year was just Drew Locke's going to throw the ball 50 times. Let's see what happens at the end of the day. But he's been a really nice quarterback and maybe an underrated player in Southeastern Conference history.
Well, here's the thing, though. You know, from a Missouri standpoint, they don't have a lot of great history as far as football is concerned. You know, upsets here, upsets there. But the fact that Barry Odom is just the fourth Missouri quarterback, head coach, to lead a team to a bowl game in two of his first 3 years, that's only happened three previous times in Missouri history. So it's not a program that's rich in tradition with a lot of success over the decades.
It's not. You're right. And Gary Tinkle got them to a place I don't think any of us thought was frankly possible with Missouri football. To get to the SEC championship game a couple of times, to do what he did with Chase Daniel was pretty impressive when he was in the Big 12. And really, for them to win the games that they've won after moving to the SEC, I didn't expect that, right? I mean, when they came in, I thought this was a team that's going to dilute the bottom of the conference. And instead, they've been a team that's been pretty darn competitive over the years. So they've done a solid job with it. But you're right, there's not the pedigree there. So maybe for Missouri fans, this is fine. As far as they're concerned, to finish 7-5, they have a good shot to finish 8-4 this year. I do think that at the end of the season, they're going to kick themselves for that South Carolina game and that Kentucky game, letting those two go, because it really could have been a special season for them. But yeah, it's not a great tradition there, and Drew Locke probably will be one of those historic Missouri players that will go down in program history.
How about the fact it's Senior Day, right, for Tennessee? 13 seniors being honored. The stat that really blew my mind is the fact that only three of these 13 individuals are from the state of Tennessee.
It's incredible, isn't it? You know, Butch Jones did a really bad job recruiting here. That's one of the things that I think that maybe people miss, especially the East Tennessee area. And he turned a lot of the guys off here because he tried to walk into the schools around here like a big baller, right? He would run in, do the whole show up in a limousine or in a helicopter, and he would have state troopers there leading him. I know he lost T. Higgins, that's now, star wide receiver at Clemson, because he showed up at the one of his games and wanted an area roped off for him and his security. And Dabo Swinney just went into the stands and hung out with T. Higgins' mom and watched the game. And the difference between those two things is why T. Higgins didn't come to Tennessee. So it's I think Butch really rubbed a lot of people the wrong way with the amount of ego that he had, and so he didn't land a lot of guys. Amari Rodgers is another guy for Clemson that his dad's T. Martin, so he grew up being a Tennessee fan his entire life. Just didn't like Butch Jones, didn't want to end up having to come back here and play for Butch Jones. So he goes to Clemson. You have the offensive lineman that's at Cade Mays, that's at Georgia right now. Went to Catholic High School here. His dad was a starter lineman for Tennessee, and he just didn't trust that Butch Jones could get into the NFL with what they were doing. So he goes to Georgia instead, so he can play for Sam Pittman and Jim Chaney. And Pittman's maybe the best offensive line coach in the game. Butch would hire his buddies to be the coaches that were around them. And so Tennessee doesn't have a lot of guys from the in-state area. He would try to recruit in Georgia, try to recruit in Florida, Larry Scott, Lennon, and some guys from there. And then he did a solid job in North Carolina, where he got Shy Tuttle and a couple of other guys that came from the Charlotte area. But he looked at the Charlotte area, the Atlanta area. Alfreda is an area that he really liked to hit. When he brought in Larry Scott, they did South Florida. He really liked to go in Ohio because of his personal connections to coaches there. And he'd pick up 3-star guys that maybe didn't pan out or do a whole lot. But, Tennessee has not done a good job building a fence around the state, much less recruiting regionally or nationally over the last few years.
Butch Jones, ego? You mean the same Butch Jones that really felt like statues should have been built in his honor with 9-win seasons? That Butch Jones? Interesting.
I'll tell you this. The biggest thing that ever happened, Johnny, that ticked off former players was he took the national championship trophy and placed it underneath a stairwell. Very legitimately, it was underneath the stairwell, and it had his slogans all around, and it said brick by brick, and it had a brick wall building up and just a little glass area where you could see the national championship trophy from 98. And where the national championship trophy used to be at the top of this stairwell, he put the Gator Bowl trophy. And I'm dead serious about that. Like, he actually did that. It was anything that could possibly happen that, like, he just had kind of a fragile ego and just needed to be pumped up in everything that happened within that athletics department.
Will, as always, we appreciate you, buddy. You can keep up with Will on Twitter at Will West, WNML, co-host on Knoxville Sports Radio, WNML. If I don't get a chance to talk to you before Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we always appreciate you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Johnny. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too, Matt.